hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
All right, welcome everybody into another edition of the KSL Court Report podcast. I'm also going to brand this as a Salt City Hoops show because we've got both of Zach Harper and I, at Talk Hoops on Twitter. And so we'll just upload it to both RSS feeds and then everyone can listen to it, and that's just going to be convenient.
It's what I like to call a double dip.
It feels like cheating, and it might be, but we'll see.
Who cares? It's the internet.
Anybody notices.
There are no rules on the internet. That's probably not true, but there are very few rules.
I've seen those like warnings ahead of movies about piracy and whatever else on the internet, right? Like they've told me that that's not a victimless crime, but I think it is one.
It probably is. I also think calling it piracy is just stupid.
You're against the term itself.
Yeah, I just think it's disrespectful to the pirates of yesteryear.
Wow. I mean, that's probably true. Yeah, it's definitely not as cool.
Yeah, Johnny Depp didn't die for that.
No.
I don't know. Well,
did Johnny Depp die?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Do we have some breaking
You would never know. He probably smells the exact same whether he's alive or dead. Heard he's a smelly guy. Not a showerer.
Good point. We've got a lot to talk about in the NBA world and the Utah Jazz world today. First of all, it's about 48 hours from when we're recording this podcast to the NBA's trade deadline. So we'll talk about that in general and what that means for the Utah Jazz. But we want to lead off by starting to talk about this DeMarcus Cousins trade. It was really the end of Sunday night, right after the All-Star game, when the news broke that DeMarcus Cousins had been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, a first-round pick. Which is an incredible piece of deal-making by the Sacramento Kings. I mean, have you been on a podcast yet to talk about this?
I was on the radio this morning and made fun of it quite a bit.
Where were you on the radio?
Somewhere in the Bay Area.
Okay. So,
I think 95.7 the game.
So were Sacramento fans listening and perhaps upset or?
Possibly. I don't think they're upset with anything I said.
Okay,
I think they're just apoplectic at this point because I don't know, like, I guess I blame Vlade, but you also blame Vivek.
I think I mostly blame Vivek.
Yeah. I mean, especially when Vlade kind of throws him under the bus a little bit, or at least dangles him in front of the bus by saying, yeah, we had a better offer 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Why would you ever say that?
If it were your decision,
right.
You wouldn't.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But Buddy Hield might be the next Steph Curry. You know,
he won't be.
He's not quick enough, and he's not strong enough to be Clay, and
next
he's
Doug
not
McDermott?
A good enough shooter, and he's not tall enough to be Doug McDermott.
Oh, bummer.
He's already 23 years old. But other than those facts, he's probably right there.
Yeah, I'm very out on Buddy Hield's NBA career, actually.
He could be a starting shooting guard in this league simply because I think the position's so weak.
Yeah, I think, like, best case, J.J. Redick? Is that?
J.J. Redick's a real good
very,
player.
Very, very good, yeah. Sure. But, like, that's best case in my mind if he
maximizes
learns how to
everything.
Play defense. You know, J.J. Redick had some of the same problems his rookie, really first two or three seasons where couldn't move well enough and had to focus on the defensive part of his game in order to be a reasonable rotation player. And yeah, now J.J. Redick's very good. But then, even then, you still just traded J.J. Redick for DeMarcus Cousins, which is probably not good enough. I think most likely Buddy Hield turns out to be a very average NBA player. I mean, you look at I looked at his rookie season next to Omri Caspi's rookie season, who, by the way, the Kings also traded in this deal. At age 21, Caspi had better numbers than Buddy Hield has now at age 23.
Buddy Hield might be the third or fourth best shooter in this deal. Like, he's kind of right in line with what Cousins has done.
Okay.
Cousins a little worse in terms of accuracy, but it's pretty much right there. And Caspi is definitely a better shooter. Langston Galloway might be a better shooter.
Well, Those are all, I mean, look at it
that's
that
what he does, though, right? He shoots, and some people say, well, he's just a rookie. You know, you got to give him time to get acclimated to the league. Who is going to give him space now?
No one.
Costa Kufos isn't commanding a double team.
Double team Buddy Hield.
I do want to see a three-wing lineup. You know, we have the triple wing here in Salt Lake City. That's very intriguing, right? Mm-hmm. Or has been intriguing, at least in the past. The triple wing lineup of the Kings could be Tyreke Evans, Buddy Hield, and Ben McLemore.
You know, that looks like a team.
All kinds of crap that I would like to watch.
I'm glad that you would like to watch it, because I would probably just tune out, let's be honest.
And here's the other problem, too, is like, oh, sure, all right, you didn't pay. I don't have a problem if you want to move on from DeMarcus Cousins.
No, I don't.
I don't have a problem if you, like, I think they're equally at fault. But the thing about the trade is, like, if you want to get rid of DeMarcus Cousins and the cloud he has over the locker room, fine. If you don't want to pay him $200 million, fine. I get all that. But if you were going to sell it as, we are rebuilding with these draft picks, one, you may not even have your draft pick. You may have to swap with the Sixers and get a worse pick. You could, mm-hmm. if they win the number one pick, they don't get it.
Right.
That's the crazy thing. They do keep it from going to Chicago, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. By the way, for an Omri Caspi trade years ago.
Yeah.
They traded Omri in the pick for J.J. Hickson, which, fantastic.
But they got him back.
Got him back, so everything's fine, and now they're turning into Buddy Hield.
Him again.
But this team can't draft.
No.
They're really bad. Like, their last six draft picks, and obviously if you throw Georgios Papagiannis into it, or as I like to call him, Daddy Tocumpo.
I like it a lot.
If you throw him into it, it obviously lowers the average because he's only played four games this year. But their last six top eight picks, which are the last 6 years, have averaged a little under a season and a half of play for the Kings. That's insane. Like, you are missing on every single draft pick. Maybe Willie Cauley-Stein's okay. We don't really know yet. Maybe he'll be okay. But you are just missing and missing and missing on all these picks.
Yeah, and it's every year. It's in good drafts. It's in bad drafts. I mean, it's through three different GMs now that they've screwed these up. I mean, it's really bad.
Yeah, and some of it dates to Malouf era, and that's not fair to tie that to them.
Right.
But it's also worth making the point that this problem hasn't changed in the new management and new ownership.
Right. So, that's very worrying. And I think there is part of this draft which is kind of you can't lose sort of, you know, I think the top five, whoever you get out of the top five is probably going to be a good enough player, right?
Right.
I don't know that 5 through 10 of this draft is so sure.
Yeah, I've been looking at like a prospect a week, and I've done 4 so far, so we're not like deep into this, but you know, I've looked at Dennis Smith Jr., I've looked at Lauri Markkanen. I just looked at Jonathan Isaac today and Malik Monk. So those guys are probably in the 4 to 10 range, right? They're good. They're good players. They're not necessarily, I mean, maybe Isaac can be a franchise player. Maybe Dennis Smith Jr. is like a Steve Francis type, but like sustainable.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you're not, one guy here is not changing this. And I just don't, I think after the top 10, there are role players, but it's not. I just don't think this draft is as deep as everyone is pretending it to be.
I agree.
Because it's so hard, and especially like a pick in the 20s, like when you're talking about the Blazers Nuggets deal from a week and a half ago. Portland acquired another pick in the 20s. Great, that has about 11% chance of hitting on a rotation player.
Right.
I mean, that's it's just the odds aren't in your favor.
Yeah, and I think this draft is better that, you know, you have maybe a 25% chance of hitting, but still.
That's not great.
It's not something that, like, is going to turn the Kings around anytime soon, or even the Blazers, for that matter. What do you think? So I'm kind of with you. My take on this is basically I don't disagree trading DeMarcus Cousins. I do disagree with how much they got out of it. It's just a horrific deal from a value point.
And it's not like he's becoming a free agent this summer.
No.
You have a year and a half to move him.
Right.
And when teams strike out on free agents this summer and they have cap space, now granted, I don't think it's going to be as much cap space as we were thinking 2 years ago, but they have cap space, or even on draft night, you tell me you couldn't go with DeMarcus Cousins to the pick that, you know, the team that ends up with the third pick or the second pick in the draft and say, hey, you want to make a swap?
Of course you could. But that's the problem with, like, getting this weird focus on Buddy Hield. Like, he's going to be the next Steph Curry.
You couldn't get Buddy Hield draft night?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. Oh, well. For the Pelicans,
a crap factory in Sacramento. That's what I would say. A shiny new crap factory.
Yeah. Pelicans, though, I think, how dangerous are they?
I don't know. I mean, I still don't think they have a whole lot of shooting.
I agree. I think they can acquire some this offseason, though, and,
sure.
Kind of be dangerous next year.
I'm a little worried about what they're going to have to pay Jrue Holiday because he has an injury history. This year obviously doesn't count because he was with his wife, but as she was recovering from brain tumor
surgery.
He
still has an injury history.
But he still, before that, he was on minutes restrictions for like 3 straight years. I mean, I don't know that I would trust giving him $25 million a year. I mean, you probably have to give him what George Hill's going to get, right?
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
about
I'll say
market.
This. I know the Jazz weren't interested in acquiring Jrue Holiday when, you know, it kind of would have made sense to do so before them picking up Paul George because of that injury history.
George Hill,
not Paul George.
Although, if the Jazz can get Paul George, I'm in on that.
It's impressive. Impressive deal making. Because of that injury history, that kind of shied them away from looking at Jrue Holiday deals. Also, by the way, how much the Pelicans were asking for, which was a lot because, well, Holiday is a good player.
He's good.
Yeah. But yeah, so I agree that's worrying. And then they're definitely paying like too much money for like Solomon Hill types, right?
Yeah, and Omer Sheik and Alex Ajinsa was like, like $4 or $5 million a year, but that's $4 or $5 million
like
you're wasting,
years,
right?
So, yeah. Yeah, so it's that's expensive, but if they can figure out those other things and put shooting around it, I do like Cousins and
yeah, I mean,
AD
that's the thing. Like,
by,
this team was,
you know,
kind of going nowhere. They didn't really have anything, and you turn Buddy Hield and a draft pick and whatever into,
even if they traded DeMarcus tomorrow for something better, like,
right? Like, you turn that into DeMarcus, like, that is a win on all levels. Yeah. Even if he leaves in 2018, you didn't give up much to do it. So I think, like, you throw them together, you see if you have, like, you know, Murder Gras or whatever you want to call it from now on in New Orleans. Like,
Murder Gras.
That also might be a term for just horrible things that happened during Mardi Gras. I have no idea. I haven't researched it. But that popped in my head. I said, oh, Murder Gras. And then I thought, oh, that might be horrible.
Well,
but, you know, you throw those two together and, like, even if it doesn't work, that's a good experiment. Yeah. I mean, and based on what you had before, I'm a little worried about this keeping Dell Demps job secure for another year and a half, because I really do think he's just not good at his job, even despite this deal. But yeah, I mean, the hardest thing is getting one star, right? And then you get a second star, and then anything can really happen. Mm-hmm. And now they have two stars.
Yeah, and it might go well, and it might not, but it looks a whole lot better than it did 48 hours ago.
Absolutely.
Speaking of people who may or may not be good at their jobs, the Lakers.
They're not.
Fired Jim Buss today.
Fine.
Also fired Mitch Kupchak today.
Fine.
Also fired John Black, their PR guy today. Real weird,
I guess,
whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, and then hired Magic Johnson as their president of basketball operations.
Great, Bob.
I've just seen too much of Magic Johnson tweeting and on TV, and he has never had a good basketball thought.
This is a wonderful thing that has just happened within my time going from my apartment to the studio.
Uh-huh.
Is someone tweeted out comments from Magic Johnson saying, "I will not leak things to the media." Fantastic, great idea, right, Magic?
Okay.
Later said, teams have been calling about Lou Williams. You don't say those things anymore, Magic.
you can't do those same. Yeah.
It seems like that's not the way to handle it.
I mean, in Magic's defense, this had already been leaked to the media, I guess, but maybe by Magic.
By him. You don't do it by yourself. You don't say, I'm not going to leak things. I mean, I guess you're not leaking a rumor. It's a fact if the president of basketball operations says, hey, they've been calling about Lou Williams.
Yeah. I mean, sure. And we're going to talk about Lou Williams in a second, but just Magic Johnson, I do not think will be a good basketball executive at all. I think he's a smart businessman.
Yeah,
I think
he's very smart businessman.
You know, there's that. But in terms of just like his main advice to the Lakers is like, go try to sign Kevin Durant. And so, yep, they're going to try to sign Kevin Durant again, and it's still not going to work because he doesn't want to sign there.
So the idea, I believe, is they're going to bring in agent Rob Pelinka,
right?
Kobe's agent, to
Dante Exum's agent.
Dante Exum's agent, James Harden's agent, mm-hmm. to come be the general manager.
Yeah.
The right-hand man to Magic. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I don't think Rob Pelinka can't do it. I just, when you bring in a former agent, I always find that to be a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know how well he's going to be able to negotiate deals with other general managers, because it is a different world than negotiating a contract, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he can't do it. Like, if he has, I would feel much more comfortable with him having the majority of the the day-to-day stuff and deal making, and then just kind of like pitch it to Magic, and the Magic's like, yeah, I'll let me tweet about this and see the response, and then we'll do it.
Something tells me that's not going to be the case, though.
Probably not.
I mean, I like having Rob Pelinka in your organization because, yeah, you know, again, from like a negotiation point of view, just having someone with that skill set is going to be really valuable, yeah, especially in the general manager title where they're going to have the authority to make those kind of negotiations, right? But from a like basketball knowledge point of view, from a scouting point of view, from an analytics point of view, you know, all these other things that you put together to make a quality basketball front office, I don't see those skills in either Magic Johnson or what we know of Rob Pelinka.
Magic did say on analytics, we got to have an analytics team. So at least, I don't know if he'll use them, but at least he believes in acquiring the information. That's something.
Unlike Jim Buss, is that the?
I don't know. Jim Buss had Chaz, right? That scout, that infamous scout.
Oh dear. All right. Let's talk about the Jazz.
Yeah.
First of all, and let's go ahead and do a whole segue here with Lou Williams, member of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Sure.
Multiple reports have said that the Jazz are interested in Lou Williams. A couple of weird things about that. First, it was Ian Begley of ESPN, really ESPN New York. He's a New York Knicks beat writer. I literally couldn't find any reporting or any article or anything that he'd ever done on the Jazz before yesterday.
Right.
About the Jazz, quote unquote, some members of the Jazz front office having expressed interest in Lou Williams. Then today, this morning, Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune reported that the Jazz are indeed interested in Lou Williams. And I went through my audio clips to find a clip of Quinn Snyder saying, "I am a fan of Lou Williams," quote unquote.
Sure.
That's the exact quote. He worked with Lou in Philly and in Atlanta. So, you know, there is actually something there. But anyway, so that's kind of what's going on. I think it's weird that Begley had the scoop, and it probably means, like, does that mean Jeff Hornacek knew? I was trying to find, like, a link there, but anyway.
So Leon Rose is Lou Williams' agent.
No, it's actually not. Used to be,
he fired
him. I was on this old website, too. Yeah,
oh, okay.
So it used to be Leon Rose, but now it's Wallace Prather, who's Derek Favors' agent.
There you go.
So then what's the connection between Wallace Prather and Ian Begley? I don't know, but that's probably how Tony Jones knows.
Yeah.
But anyway. Or Tony Jones. I mean, Tony Jones has lots of sources. Let's just throw
right
that. Tony knows lots of people. Anyway. But Jazz, this is a very believable rumor that the Jazz are interested in Lou Williams. And honestly, it just makes a lot of sense to swap the 30th pick in the draft for Lou Williams. And kind of that's what the Lakers are looking for, a first-round pick. And the 30th pick in the draft is nominally that pick.
Right.
Williams is under contract $7 million a year for the next 2 years. And on the floor, I think, does give the Jazz something that they don't have right now, or at least not while Alec Burks is who he is.
He's really good. Lou Williams is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a, you know, you're, I don't know if you're looking for a starting point guard caliber guy, but he's not that. But he is one of the best scorers in the league off the bench. And I've always, granted, I'm Team Gunner. I believe in, you know, the Jamal Crawfords and Nick Youngs of the world. But, like, Lou Williams is legitimate. Like, he adds an incredible scoring punch, which I think is very valuable off the bench. And kind of keep, you know, he's not a good defender, but he kind of keeps those second units afloat.
Yeah, and that's something that the Jazz have struggled with. When Hayward's on the floor, they don't really have anyone who can score, especially when Rodney Hood's been out.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to say that Lou Williams would be the second best scorer on this team if he was acquired. I mean, behind Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's a big deal. What do you make of kind of this idea that he doesn't work in the playoffs? You know, like Zach Lowe kind of talked about that. His playoff stats in the past haven't been good. He's shot under 40% in three of his playoff seasons.
Right.
I mean, the game does legitimately tighten up. Can he figure out how to make that work during the playoffs then?
Yeah, I mean, all right. So let's look at the playoffs he's been a part of, right?
Okay.
The last one was Toronto. That team wasn't any good in the play. Like, they got obliterated, right? Is that his fault, or was it more DeMar DeRozan's fault?
I mean, definitely more DeMar DeRozan's fault, but Lou Williams didn't help, I guess.
He didn't help, but, I mean, I just, like, to me, you get swept, your team gets obliterated. I don't know that I'm pinning Lou Williams as like a non-playoff guy in that situation, right? Didn't do well for Atlanta. That was also a team that just couldn't really get over the hump. He didn't do all that well for Philly. His last 2 years, his first 2 years in Philly, he did great in the playoffs. But he hasn't really been a part of these like really good units and these really good teams. I think this would be the best team he's ever been on.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the deepest team and the team with the most complementary parts for that second unit. I would be shocked if he shot under 40% in however long.
I agree with that. You know, legitimately good shooter.
Yeah. He does rely a lot on free throws, right? And so that can be a problem. Like, we've seen some cases, we've seen it with DeMar DeRozan. Like, DeMar DeRozan relies on a lot of free throws, and he's struggled in his first few playoff stints as a, you know, a major player because of that. You know, maybe Lou Williams continues to struggle to not get calls or whatever, but I think he'll adjust.
Yeah, and I think at the least he's a good enough shooter that he's at least a threat, right?
Yeah.
Like, so even if he's not the efficient scorer he was during the regular season, he still gives you something that you don't really have right now, which is a point guard who can shoot.
Right.
Backup point guard who can shoot. Obviously, George Hill can. I think it's fair. I also think that you can, because his deal lasts until next year, you can kind of just trade Lou Williams during the draft if you want to.
Absolutely.
Or during next trade deadline and still get something for him, you know?
Yeah, like, if his skill set's
not going to go out of style.
Yeah, if you're just giving up that 30th pick. I mean, maybe there's a contract filler in there, right? But if you're just giving up
that... It doesn't have to be, though, with the Jazz's cap space.
Right, it doesn't have to be. But if they're, you know, if that's the case, or, I mean, you obviously have to get rid of somebody on the roster.
Right.
Because they need a roster space. So whatever that subtraction is plus the pick, that's not giving up a lot. Is that enough for the Lakers to be enticed? Like, hey, here's the 30th pick. Is that enough for them? I mean, maybe that helps enough with their cap space, you know, this summer, or their cap flexibility this summer to make a move that they want. Maybe they need that extra $7 million. You know, minus the $900,000 that comes with the 30th pick. But I mean, if you're doing that low of a cost as the Jazz, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You know, obviously the Jazz also have their own pick as well, the 24 pick or 25 or whatever it'll be. So that's a possibility too. And I'm guessing, you know, that's where the negotiations will come down to.
Right.
That's, you know.
And if that's what you're giving up, I still don't think. I mean, what are the odds that you are going to get a player of Lou Williams caliber over the next 2 years with the 24th pick?
Zero.
You can get a Rudy Gobert, right?
Right.
Like, they've done that before. That's not that typical. And I don't think you can just rely on the Jazz to pluck, you know, all defensive players in the end of the first round every time that comes up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I you know, it's funny because these rumors came out like 12 hours ago, which is so recent, like even after the time when we set up the time to do this podcast. And then only 2 hours ago, the Lakers just fired their entire front office, right?
So, 2 days before the deadline. Like, that's just amazing.
Right. Why then? Like,
that makes me think they're not going to make a move, though. I mean, I guess this is Magic Johnson. Anything's possible. But unless they're going to get Rob Pelinka installed today and up to speed on everything and... You know,
they can't, honestly, with Pelinka's contracts and stuff. You got to find...
Right, he's got to divest, you know, all of his, you know, his clients in that part of the business. He's got to get rid of all of it before he can. It seems so irrational to think that they would make a serious move or even a minor move in the next 2 days, but it is also the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely than not just because it makes so much sense with the direction their franchise is heading. I mean, if you look at, you know, Lou Williams, Nick Young, Jordan Clarkson, you know, the whole list of guys that may or may not be long for this franchise's future, it just makes sense to get assets for them. And I, you know, so now is a, like, now I think is a good time to trade Lou Williams in a vacuum or Nick Young or whoever. But how, if you don't have a front office, how do you do it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is you don't have a front office. I don't know how you get that done. One little thing on Lou Williams, this is the greatest scoring year he's ever had. And granted, it's on a horrible Lakers team, but his points per 36 minutes, 27. Which is impressive. He's over 60% true shooting.
Yeah,
for the first time in his career, like he's having a real year.
Yeah. What did he score in his last game? Was it 40?
Something like that. Yeah. Like,
he has a lot of points.
24 PER. I mean, you know, that means whatever it means. But I mean, he's
been, good. Is what it means.
Yeah. I mean, it is good. But like, you know, he's having, you know, and by the, you know, just about every advanced metric that we have, he's really having just an impressive scoring season.
Yeah. Do you think, how much do you think he hurts the Jazz's defense?
I mean, no more than Shelvin Mack does.
Okay. That's the question. Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're comparable defenders. Maybe he's a little worse, but not enough to counteract the scoring punch you're going to get.
Okay. Let's talk about Derek Favors. So Derek Favors, I wrote this huge, big article, and when I say huge, big, I don't mean impact. I mean in length. on kind of Derek Favors right now, where he is, and kind of the questions around whether or not he's going to be on this team long term. I mean, first of all, there's the injuries woes that have happened all this season. Clearly wasn't healthy for at least part of this offseason, was limited according to Jazz general manager Dennis Lindsay. Came into the preseason hurt, then sat out a month due to his knee issues, and then had sat out, what was it, 2 weeks ago with other knee issues.
Right.
And just generally doesn't look 100% out there on the floor. Maybe the bigger long-term issue, though, is how he fits next to Derek Favors, which I don't think the Jazz like that fit a whole lot.
Right.
In particular, Quinn Snyder doesn't play it at the end of games, like hardly at all. You know, we've seen Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert end the game next to each other, I think it's five times this season. I mean, it's just been rare. And even when he was healthy at the end of last season, it's still something that really Snyder mostly avoided. He's getting fewer touches as Rudy Gobert's kind of developed into this elite pick and roll threat.
Yeah.
Where Derek Favors is still, I think, a good pick and roll player, but not, you know, not as good as Rudy Gobert is, who's probably the second or third best role threat in the league. Is that crazy to say? I mean,
what I wrote about him at the end of December, and he was the best in the league. And so, since then, maybe he's fallen a spot or two. But he's been a top five guy for sure in the pick and roll.
So, and that kind of makes it hard to find Favors touches in the offense.
Right.
So I think that plus his means that it's unlikely that he stays with the Jazz beyond 2018.
Right.
And so it kind of makes sense to kind of explore what you can get for him. Zach Lowe reported that the Jazz are indeed testing the market for what Derek Favors can get. He kind of thought that it would be more with an eye towards trading him during the offseason, just kind of seeing what the interest level is with teams around the league while everyone's talking about trades. But certainly it could happen this trade deadline if the Jazz were blown away. And then Tony Jones again reported that the Phoenix Suns may be interested in talking to the Jazz about Derek Favors. That's not the same as they've talked to the Jazz about Derek Favors, but they're second degree.
Willing to have a conversation.
They're willing to have a conversation.
Yeah.
About a conversation.
They're willing to talk to a friend about being set up.
Yeah.
That's what exactly. That's what this means.
So, overall, what do you make of this Derek Favors situation, and especially this Phoenix Suns tie? Because that's not one I expected.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Suns team's managed all that well. So I guess it makes sense that, like, I don't see how he fits into what they want unless they think they're close.
Agreed.
And if they think they're close, wow.
They're wrong. But, okay, let's say that they think they want to acquire Derek Favors, whatever. I mean, they're 25, so yeah. Or Derek Favors is 25, so yeah.
I mean, if you get P.J. Tucker and a lottery-protected pick for the next 3 years, right? Not three picks, but it's lottery-protected for 3 years.
Okay. I mean, the Suns aren't going to be in the lottery for the next 3 years.
Do they think that? But that's the important part.
So you got to figure out what that pick looks like if they are in the lottery for the
right.
Yeah,
then
right?
I don't know. It becomes two seconds or whatever, or it goes to top 10 at that point. You know, whatever. Like there are pick protection things that happen quite a bit. But if you're getting a potential future first and PJ Tucker, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean that helps a lot with where this season's gone for the Jazz and what they can be in the playoffs and defensive versatility and 3-point shooting and all that stuff they love, like that fits in much better than Favors does, even though you're getting a downgrade in talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely are. And I think you're also, Tucker's contract ends this year, right?
I believe it does. Yeah.
So that's kind of, you do then have to figure out what your power forward situation is for 2017-18 as well. So, but maybe you acquire a first round pick and then use that asset to get whoever your power forward of the next few years is going to be. I agree. Like, the Suns are such a weird fit for this, but, you know, like you say, they're a weird organization who have made weird acquisitions in the past, and this wouldn't be a first for them. But, I definitely have that conversation. I kind of think, you know, maybe you have a three-team deal where the Suns are willing to give up some assets that make sense to them. You know, maybe they want to give up T.J. Warren, for example, right?
I don't know. I mean, I do know they're very high on him.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he's untouchable.
Right. Maybe are they high on Alex Len? I mean, I have no idea.
That's a great question.
Because if you're acquiring Derek Favors, now Alex Len is behind.
He didn't get an extension, right?
Len? No.
So he's a restricted free agent?
He's a restricted free agent.
Yeah. And you've already given an inordinate amount of money to Tyson Chandler.
Right. But it doesn't make any sense for the Jazz to acquire Alex Len.
No.
Why would you do that? No. So maybe some team out there is. I mean, who knows? You know, I think there you have to have these sort of conversations.
Right.
And it feels like there's not going to be enough time for the Jazz to do, like, figure everything out that would make a Derek Favors trade work in the next 48 hours.
Right. But I do think, like, talks are, you know, there's the kind of tidbit I think Zach Lowe had years ago that the Spurs have been working on acquiring LaMarcus Aldridge for 4 years.
Right.
Right? Like, these things are have a much longer view than we assume. We hear, hey, the Pistons are interested in shopping Andre Drummond, or they're listening to offers about Andre Drummond. That's actually news I confirmed today,
yeah,
by the way. Congratulations to me for doing some real work. but the Pistons are open to inquiries about Andre Drummond, right? Does that mean they are going to trade him in the next 2 days? No, it probably means that they're just looking at what their options are by next trade deadline. Yeah. Like, a lot of this stuff happens a year, with a year of talks, 2 years of talks. So if Favors is being talked about now, it's probably more towards what can we do in the summer.
Right.
Or maybe even next trade deadline, if that's where it gets to. I don't think it'll go that far. I think he would be more likely to be dealt this summer if he gets dealt at all. But that's more likely what the talks are.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think that the Jazz are going to keep their eye open for another power forward option, mostly because Trey Lyles and Boris Diaw haven't been good.
Right.
I think that's fair to say.
Right.
And I think someone who can give them another spacing four option besides Joe Johnson, quite frankly, that can kind of slide in there. PJ Tucker makes a lot of sense, even if you're not giving up Derek Favors.
Right.
Heck, you could even say, like, Jared Dudley if you wanted. The contract doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, the contract's tougher, but he would fit perfectly. Yeah. Smart player, good shooter, like, can play four.
Yeah,
plenty well.
Like, I think that would make some sense.
Yeah.
And you know, guys,
at that point, you probably also have to give up Burks, though, right? You have to find a place for Burks. I guess at least by the end of draft night.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Long term, for sure. Just from a salary.
From a salary standpoint of, like, what you want to do with Hill and Hayward this summer.
Yeah.
Can this be right, real quick?
Yeah,
that Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert have not only just played only 39 minutes of fourth quarter minutes together this year, but that they're a plus 57 net rating?
That sounds good to me. I mean,
it sounds good, right? But obviously it sounds good. But, I mean, I believe that they've only played in 14 games together in the fourth quarter. Just that effectiveness is surprising to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The game I remember where they played together actually was the Minnesota comeback.
That probably screwed up a lot.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
But still, it's funny, like, that lineup still plays pretty well together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how reticent Quinn Snyder is to go to it at the end of games.
Let's say they face the Clippers in the first round. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is, and they haven't moved Favors, do you think that's something they go to more, or do they try to get more versatile?
See, before last week, and maybe I'm reading too much into one random game, but before last week, I would have said, play Favors on Blake and Rudy on DeAndre and just go with it. But I think it didn't look great last week,
but I also think that game was such a bad storm of not being able to hit shots.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I also think that, like, maybe the Warriors, and maybe taking lessons from the Warriors is dumb, but the way to beat the Clippers may be with space and shooting over.
Right. You really probably do want to stretch out, you know, Blake Griffin's T-Rex arms.
Right. And so given that, maybe you do just want to go with a spacier lineup than what the Jazz have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I would have told you differently. So who knows?
Right.
I mean, it's because that's a matchup that the Jazz should be preparing for this in the playoffs.
I mean,
right?
It kind of seems like a collision course. Yeah.
Right. And I don't know what the right answer is in terms of facing it right
now.
Yeah. Because they've been blown out by 20 points both times.
Right. They scored a total of 148 points in those, or 147 points in those two games.
Got to spice up the offense somehow.
Little
Maybe
bit.
Lou Williams is the
Maybe
answer.
Maybe Lou Williams is the guy.
Yeah, I'm curious. Terrence Jones, by the way, it's rumored that he's already played his last game as a Pelican.
Yeah.
Another power forward option, kind of stretchy. He can't shoot at all this year.
He's really only had one okay year shooting the ball.
Okay. Shooting the three.
Shooting the three, yeah. He had a 35% year, and other than that, it's 31.5% or worse.
Okay.
He really can't shoot, but he rebounds. He's a solid enough scorer around the basket. I'm not a huge fan of his, but there are some people around the league that really think he's a good, like, third big man.
Okay. Making only $1 million a year, so
yeah, super cheap.
Or this year, really, right. And then expires. So you don't want to give up too much for him, certainly. Right. But if the Pelicans are trying to trade him, if they feel like that's been his last game, maybe he's
available. For sure.
You know, there are some other names I've mentioned in my article, but it is kind of weird because you want someone who can shoot but can also play defense, and there just aren't that many of those guys.
Those guys are pretty well sought out.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, a couple other Jazz notes. First of all, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but the Jazz have $13.6 million in cap space.
Okay.
That they have to use, or I guess just this year. You know, obviously that cap space runs out now with Rudy Gobert's extension and the free agency deals. So there may be some opportunities there if anyone's looking to dump space, dump a salary. I mean, I don't know that those players or contracts or teams exist.
Right.
But it's an opportunity for the Jazz to turn cap space now into maybe an asset down the road. I don't know what you're getting. I've kind of looked around the league for like 1 year contracts that make sense to acquire, and there just aren't.
It's not a lot, right?
Yeah. And there are five other teams in the same situation as the Jazz who could take on those deals.
I mean, that's the confusing thing about the whole, like, what the DeMarcus Cousins trade did to the market, right? Because I do think it was going to be a lot of rumors and not a lot of, like, sizzle to what was going to happen. And now this biggest of dominoes has fallen that I think was a surprise to everybody. And now it's kind of like, oh, well, if DeMarcus Cousins was moved, maybe we can get Jimmy Butler. You know, maybe we should be calling about Paul George. Like, Paul George isn't going anywhere. And I don't think Jimmy Butler's going anywhere. But I do think that kind of, like, galvanizes the market a little bit to get things done.
Yeah, I agree. Where, you know, maybe DeMarcus Cousins was an option for the Celtics before. Now it's not. Now what are you going to do? You know, what can you really pull off a Jimmy Butler deal, or do you have to figure out a new, different way to improve the Celtics?
Right, yeah.
So on and so
forth. Or Carmelo could be a Clipper in 2 days. I really do think there's a likelihood of that.
I think that's possible. I just, if they do it for Austin Rivers and garbage, I'll be so mad.
Tank out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. No, I hate it. I hate it. Melo's.
Would Austin Rivers be the best guard they have?
The Knicks?
Yeah. Not counting Courtney Lee, obviously. Like, best point guard. Between Austin Rivers and Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose? That's too hot of a take, right?
Yeah. I'd probably take Jennings.
No, I think I'm with you.
I really don't like Derrick Rose. Who rumored to go to the Timberwolves? Your thoughts?
It sounds like if it happens, which I don't think is a high likelihood, it is strictly to clear cap space.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey. Joakim Noah maybe this will sound stupid in 48 hours. Joakim Noah will not be on the Timberwolves in 48 hours.
Good.
So that, I don't think that rumor had any legs, but I do think that the Rose thing, you know, Thibs doesn't want Rubio long term, and I think he's talked about a bridge guard, and he's talked a lot about having cap space and flexibility to not just try to sign guys, but to make trades this coming summer, and so that would make sense to me.
And Derrick Rose won't be mad that he's in Minnesota.
I mean, I think if anything, like, Tom Thibodeau could boost him a little bit going into his free agency. Like, he can make him look a little bit better than he has looked. I don't know if that's going to get him an actual big contract or whatever. I highly doubt that, but it does sound like, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a 2 month marriage there.
Fair. Okay. I mean, that's.
It also could just be entire crap. I don't know.
It's not going to work.
We're 48 hours from the trade deadline as we record this. I'm very excited for 60 hours from the trade deadline, or for 60 hours from when we record this, that we hear all the deals that Danny Ainge didn't do.
Yeah, 60 because hours that, after. Yeah. 12 hours
12
after
hours after. Day. That's always my favorite kind of information leak is just Danny Ainge going, oh yeah, I could have done this trade, but I decided not to because my assets are too valuable.
I'm curious what the Cousins one is coming. I mean, right?
Yeah, that's already kind of leaked. Allegedly, Brad Stevens told Ainge he didn't want him. I don't know how real that is, but that's the story that's going around. From the little I've heard, and this isn't enough to actually say, like, hey, you should believe this story, but what I heard is that Ainge is not interested.
Okay. Terry Rozier, it's too good to trade for
too good. Terry Rozier, you know, I did see somebody, I can't remember who, but I did see some Boston media member say that the way he rebounds is fun to watch. So I don't know what that means, but 6-1 point guard.
Well, you know, good for him.
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys have any questions on the trade deadline, I'll say you can send them to me. Zach, can they send them to you, or do you want to know part in the, of this?
As long as they're not stupid.
All right,
if
only not, smart questions.
Yeah, if they're not stupid, then
smart questions
I'm in.
Go to @TalkHoops.
Although, you know what? I don't know. Like, the Kings really screwed up everything when it comes to trade machine ideas.
Yeah, because now every idea is legitimate.
Yeah, now like every Boston fan has been legitimized by saying, I'm not going to give up that for DeMarcus Cousins. And you're like, you're an idiot. And nope, no, you're not. they're all good.
They're all better than Buddy Hield. So I'd rather have Terry Rozier than Buddy. No,
the way he rebounds, you bet you.
It's not quite true. All right, so smart questions at Talk Hoops, dumb questions at Andy B. Larson. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Thanks so much for listening. I'm going to have a Jazz trade deadline recap up on KSL.com in about 15 minutes or about 5 minutes after this podcast
sure.
posts. So go ahead and check us out on KSL.com and Zach, of course, on FanRagSports.com/NBA. Love it. Cool. Yeah. All right. Andy Larson, Zach Harper signing out. Have a good one, guys.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.